Good to have each one of you here today. Welcome to Elevation Worship Center. And just make yourself at home and receive from the Lord. How many of you have already received from the Lord? It's good. Amen. It's good to be in His presence. Praise God. So my message this morning may be just a little bit different. I don't know how well you can see that picture, but there's like a bewildered, confused sort of look on my face. And I hope to explain why in just a few moments. If you have your Bible and you want to read with me the word that the Lord has placed on my heart, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Matthew, and we're going to read from Matthew's gospel beginning in the 7th chapter. So Matthew chapter 7, and we'll begin reading with verse number 21. Matthew chapter 7, and beginning with the 21st verse. When you got it, say amen. Amen. Not everyone, listen to this. This is really a powerful statement. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I, Jesus said, will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. In light of that, therefore, he says in verse number 24, in light of that, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon the house, and it fell not, because, or for, it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And I'm going to stop right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads and let's pray one more time and entreat the Lord to enable me to minister his word. All right. Precious, holy, wonderful, marvelous Jesus. Lord, we come before you this morning with our hearts touched by your Holy Spirit and by the word that you have already given to us of your love. We come to you this morning, Lord, with a grateful and a thankful heart that your word declares when we gather in your name, you are here in our midst. We have felt your presence. We have sensed your presence among us, and we are grateful. We come now, Father, to the reading of your word. And I would ask, Heavenly Father, that you would cause me to be effective in ministering what you have laid upon my heart. I readily admit of my own self, I can do nothing. But if you will touch my heart, if you will put your words in my mind and in my mouth, if you will inspire me and if you will anoint me with your Holy Spirit, and bless me to be a blessing that I know others will be blessed by the word that you have us speak. I ask for that this morning. I pray that Jesus Christ will be glorified and that the people of God will be edified, that our hearts will be touched by the word that you impart unto us. Help me now. Inspire me now. Touch me now, that you may be glorified among your people. And we will fail not to give you the praise and fail not to give you the glory. And we ask it in the mighty and marvelous name of Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement said amen. I want you, as we begin this morning, to look at the person that's sitting next to you, and with the most bewildering look that you can conjure upon your countenance, I want you to say, "Who are these people?" Who are these people? As I begin this morning, in order to give us some clarity or to bring some understanding to the context of the verses that we have read and that we have shared, let me just share with you this morning the atmosphere in which they were spoken. Jesus has just finished delivering one of the greatest messages or one of the greatest sermons that has ever been spoken. He is concluding the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount actually begins in chapter 5 and verse number 1, when a multitude comes to him and he begins to teach and begins to speak unto them. And as he ministered to the multitude that was there that day, and those that had gathered and those that had come to hear him speak, the Bible tells us that he spoke to them about certain things that we must do to inherit the kingdom of heaven. The Sermon on the Mount contains some of the most wonderful and profound truths that was ever spoken. The Bible tells us, and I'll just share with you just a few things. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse number 3, that he taught them and said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." What does it mean to be poor in spirit? It means to recognize your inadequacy, your inability, your inability to provide what you need. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those that recognize that I cannot win my way to heaven, amen, by just my good works. I need something more. We need Christ. He goes on and says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Let me just tell you something this morning. If you're not hungry for God and you're not hungry for a change in your life and you're not hungry for the things of God, you'll never be filled. But when you get hungry, he'll see to it that you're satisfied. Blessed, he said, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, how many of you know that was a radical statement in his day? The law of Moses taught an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And on he preached and he taught to them. And some of the principles that he taught must have blown their mind. They were astonished at his doctrine. But he spoke with one that had authority.
He spoke as one that had authority. His words, amen, no doubt many respects, no doubt many of them seemed both life-giving and shocking to the crowd that heard him. But Jesus knew that there were those in the crowd that day. He was aware that those were in the audience, or there were those in the audience who were merely an observer. He knew that there were those that were receiving the words that he spoke, and they were giving life to the hearer. But he also knew that in the crowd that day, there were those that were just simply an onlooker. How many of you know we have the same thing in the world today? Some folks come to the house of God ready to hear the word of God and ready to apply the word of God so that the word of God might literally change their life. But we also have some that just simply come to observe. I'll hear the word, but I have no intention of really applying it. Help me, Jesus. There were those in the crowd that day that were merely observers. He was no doubt aware that there were those in the crowd that just simply nodded their head in agreement and said amen at the appropriate place. That's a good word, preacher. But he was aware that there was those who were there in the crowd that were merely a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. He understood that there would be those that would hear and yet never apply what he spoke. And I came to tell you this morning that if we are not careful and if we are not mindful in our own lives, we can run the risk of becoming nothing more than a nodding believer saying amen to the truth and thanking the preacher at the door for a good word and walk out of the house and never apply what has been presented. It's easy for us to do that sometimes. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of James. You'll find it in James chapter 1, verse number 22. James says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not just hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, this is what he is like," James said. "He is like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror," or a glass, the King James says. "He beholds himself for a short time. He goes his way, and straightway he forgets what he looked like." Straightway he forgets what manner of man that he was. But James goes on to say in the 25th verse, "But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein," meaning he applies what has been spoken and what has been instructed, "that man," he said, "being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." What he is saying basically is if you don't apply it, you'll forget it. You can set up in the house of God sometime and hear the truth preached and hear the truth of God's word, amen, ministered to our heart, and we go, "Yes, I agree with that," and then walk out and never apply it and then forget all about it. Anybody ever done that? I have. Well, let me just tell you something this morning. We must not allow ourselves to become just a hearer of God's word. We must apply it. We must obey it. And when we apply His word and we live His word and we hear the truth and then we walk in that truth, His word will radically change our heart and the way that we live our life. What can change us? Nothing but the word of God. But let me just tell you, hearing the word will not change you. Doing the word will change you. Doing the word, acting upon the word, applying the word, that's what will radically change the way you live. Some folks came this morning because they need a radical change in their life. I got good news for you. Something that will radically change your life is the truth of God's word. So understand this morning that the context of the scriptures that we have read are the closing remarks to the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is closing His sermon. He is saying in conclusion, He's closing His sermon with an appeal to not just say, Lord, Lord, but to actually apply, to do the will of God, to obey the Lord. There are 3 points that I want to bring to you this morning. Amen. I pray this morning that you understand the importance of these 3 points. Number one, Jesus is making a powerful statement. He is proposing a powerful question. Number two, Jesus calls upon each one of us to take a decisive action. And number three, He closes His sermon with a dramatic illustration. So with those 3 ideas, He makes a powerful statement. He calls upon us to take action, and He closes with a dramatic illustration. With those 3 things in your mind, I want you to approach our text with me. The first verses that I want you to look at this morning are verse 21 and verse number 23. If you still have your Bible open to Matthew 21 and 23. And Jesus says, not everyone. I wonder how many knots are in our crowd. Not everyone. We all look like we're going. We all look like we're ready. We all look like we got it together. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. But Lord, they look like they got it together. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? And he said, I will profess to them. I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Not everyone that says to me, a powerful statement. I don't know about you, but when I read that, it caused me to look at my heart and say, Lord, am I part of the not crowd? Am I part of the not crowd? Not everyone. I want to be one. How about you? I want to be one. Who are these people that are part of the not crowd? Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, to me shall inherit inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. In this verse in the book of Matthew, it is a statement of fact. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. This same setting of verse corresponds with Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46.
Luke puts these words in the form of a question. Luke puts these words in the form of a question. It's found in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. Luke says that Jesus looked at the crowd as he closed his sermon and said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" A formidable question. Matthew says, not everyone, a statement of fact, not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And Luke puts it as a question and says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and you refuse to do the things that I say?" I studied this setting of scripture. As I was studying it, my heart couldn't help but ask, who are these people? Who are these individuals that claim to have prophesied and claim to have cast out demons and claim to have done many wonderful works in the name of the Lord, and yet they are not going to be included? Who are these people? Who are these people that call him Lord, Lord, but do not enter in? Who are they that have cast out demonic spirits and prophesied and done great things, and yet they will not inherit the kingdom of God? So you see the reason for my bewildered look. Who are these people? They sound legit to me. Can you say amen? Amen. They sound legitimate. They've prophesied in his name. They've cast out demonic spirits. They've done many great things. I know people just like that. They sound legit. They look legit. Who are they? Stop and think for a moment about their claims. They are claiming to have done great things in the name of the Lord. But the sad truth was that Jesus said that, "I will say to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew who you were." Let me just take a few moments this morning to show you two different things about these people. Number one, they are people that say, "Lord, Lord." They obviously thought that they were all right. They obviously thought that they were ready. Do you remember the parable that Jesus spoke about the 10 virgins? 5 were wise, the Bible said, and 5 were foolish. And they slept while the bridegroom tarried. And the Bible said that before the bridegroom came, amen, they awoke. And when they awoke, they realized, 5 of them who were foolish realized they didn't have oil in their lamps. Amen. And they asked those that had the oil, "Give us of your oil." And they said, "No, we can't give you of our oil. You got to have your own." And the Bible said that they went their way to buy oil for their lamp. And when they returned, the bridegroom had already came and had closed the door to the wedding reception. And they were on the outside knocking, "Lord, Lord, let us in." I'm here to tell you this morning, they were left pounding at the door saying, "Lord, Lord." And they thought they were going to be part of the wedding party. But the fact was they weren't ready and they weren't watching when he came. Amen. Who are these people this morning? Amen. They are just like the 10 virgins that thought they were ready. I want you to understand this morning. Amen. We need to examine our hearts and know that we are ready in the sight of God. The second thing that I want to point out. Number one, they cried, "Lord, Lord." They look legitimate. Number two, Jesus said, "Many will say in that day." Not just a few, but many shall say in that day. The Greek word that is translated in our Bible as "many" is the same Greek word that is used to describe the multitudes that came to hear Jesus minister, that came to hear him preach. There were multitudes. This verse could literally be translated, "Multitudes shall say unto me in that day." There's going to be a multitude of these people.
Beloved, remember the words of Jesus this morning. The kingdom of heaven does not await those who just say, Lord, Lord, but the kingdom of heaven awaits those who apply his word to their life. It's one thing to hear the word, but it is another thing to become a doer of the word. We must apply what we know. In verse 24, so Jesus makes this powerful statement or this formidable question, this profound, not everyone is going to go. And then he calls for us to make a decisive action. And you'll find it in verse number 24. He says in verse number 24, therefore, whosoever, everybody say whosoever means me. I'm included in that. Whosoever, all of us, whosoever hears the sayings, these sayings of mine, and does them. Here we read the kind of action that Jesus is asking from each of us. He is saying we must take action, not just hear, but do. Whosoever hears and does these sayings of mine. He is saying whoever hears and responds, whoever hears and executes, whoever hears and acts upon. Beloved, I want you to understand this morning that it is one thing to hear the truth and know the truth, but we have to be a doer of the truth. We have to have the resolve to carry through and apply what we have heard. He calls us to hear and to become a doer of that word. There must be a response to the word of Jesus, and there must be absolute obedience to his word. Let me give you some food for thought this morning. What is the number one criteria of discipleship? What is the number one requirement of a Christian disciple? Is it knowledge? Yes, we are to study to show ourselves approved, but is knowledge the number one characteristic or requirement of discipleship? I'm going to tell you this morning, it is not. You do not have to be a theologian in order to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can come into the house of God and know nothing about the Word of God and realize and recognize that Christ is the Messiah and that he is the Savior of the world. And you can turn your heart over as a newborn babe, not knowing a whole lot, saying, Jesus, I may not know anything, but I know I need you. Knowledge is not the key factor of discipleship. Ability is not the requirement for discipleship. Some of us may have great ability, but ability is not what he is looking for. Ministry gifting and vision and anointing and all of those things are wonderful, but no, they are not the number one criteria or the number one requirement of discipleship. What is, Pastor Gary? The number one criteria for discipleship is to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. The number one requirement for discipleship is obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Knowledge is great, but knowledge is no substitute for obedience. Talent is wonderful, but talent is no substitute for obedience. Charisma, amen, is great. But I'm telling you, charisma is not a substitute for obedience. Amen. The number one criteria for a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is obedience to his word. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 19, if we are willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. But if we refuse to hear the word of the Lord, he said, we'll be devoured. Well, I want you to understand this morning that we need to be obedient, not just a believer and nod our head and then go out and do something contrary to the Word of God. If we're going to hear the Word of God, then apply the Word of God and then act the Word of God, live the Word of God, and let the Word of God change your life. We come to point number three. Jesus gives us a dramatic illustration. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine in verse 24 and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Everybody say a wise man. I will liken. So in other words, he's saying if you just not only hear, but you do, you are a wise person. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not. It did not fall because it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not, he said, I will liken that individual unto a foolish man. Everybody say foolish man. Which built his house upon sand. And the rain descended and the flood came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell. How many of you know you are not wise if you build on sand? Your home is not going to last built upon sand. Well, let me just tell you, neither is your life. He said the winds came, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell and great was the fall of it. He gives us a contrasting picture of a house that is built upon a solid foundation. A house that is built upon a unmovable rock, a house that is built upon a foundation that is steadfast and secure. And in contrast to that, he gives us the illustration of a house that has been built upon shifting sand. My wife and I love to go to the Oregon coast. We have this particular little place that we like to stay. Right on the water, from me to that table back there, we got a balcony and you can just watch the waves. And at night when we go to bed, you know, I mean, people do all kinds of stuff in the sand and draw all kinds of things and dig all kinds of holes and all that kind of stuff. And at night we go to bed, get up the next morning, and it's just smooth as glass. Because the tide came in and just filled everything up and shifted the sand. Jesus said, if you are a foolish individual, you will build your house and you will build your life upon shifting sand. The only thing that is steadfast and unmovable is the foundation of God's word. It will not change. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The Bible said the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The Bible said that his word is forever settled in heaven. It will not change. And if you are a wise man or a wise individual, you will build your house. You will build your life upon the unchanging word of God. A foolish individual will build their life upon the foolishness of this world that's ever shifting and ever changing. Amen. And you may have it secure one day and the tide comes in and the winds blow and the rains come and it blows everything up because it wasn't built upon the solid truth of God's word. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, I confess, I have known these scriptures from my youth. I learned them at a very early age. I've read these scriptures many, many times. I've heard others preach upon these scriptures. I myself have preached
upon these verses. The other day when I was preparing for our service this morning, the words took on a different meaning. Many of you who knew my father knew that he was a contractor and a pastor for over 50 years. I remember as a young man, 17, 18 years old, my father was doing construction work and pastoring. And I can remember going with him and setting forms to pour a foundation. And I got to thinking about my father and how that he was so meticulous about making sure that we got the foundation perfectly square. I was 17, 18 years old. My mind really wasn't on building a foundation. I was thinking about, you know, Friday night. Hello? It was about 104, 105. Hold that tape. Tell me what it is. I'd call out the number. No, it's off. We got to bring it back this way. That's close enough. Right? No, close enough won't work, son. It's got to be right. It's got to be square. It's got to be right on the mark. He told me, he said, you cannot compromise when you're building the foundation. If you compromise the foundation, the higher you build on the foundation, the more out of square the home becomes. If you're off an inch or a half inch on the foundation, by the time you get to the rafters or the time you get to the trusses up top, you'll be off about an inch and a half. You can't compromise. When you're building a foundation, Spirit of the Lord began to speak to my heart about these verses. And the Lord spoke to my spirit and said, tell the people you cannot compromise. When you're building a foundation, you cannot compromise upon His word. You can't just obey a little bit of it and not obey all of it. By the time you get to the top, amen, you'll be out of square. Is anybody understanding where I'm headed today? You can't compromise when you're building a foundation. You have to have the proper grade. You have to have the compacting completed properly. There has to be precise measurements in order to get the foundation square. You have to have the right kind of material. You have to put in the steel in the right way, and you have to mix the concrete and the gravel at a certain mixture. If you get the concrete too weak, it'll never hold up under the pressure. You hear what I'm saying this morning? There are no shortcuts to building a house upon a foundation, and there are no shortcuts in building your life upon the solid rock of Christ. Hallelujah. And many of us are like that 18-year-old boy. Well, it's not that important, is it? Hello? Well, see, it wasn't that I didn't know how to work. I knew how to work, but I just had other fish to fry. Hello? Well, some of you know what I'm talking about, and some of you may not, but I had other things on my mind. Hello? Well, let me just tell you, some of us are just like that impetuous 18-year-old boy. We recognize the need to be precise, but we got other things we really would like to be doing and we really would like to be involved with. No, let me just warn you this morning. You can say, Lord, Lord, and you can even do wonderful things for the Lord. These folks who we thought were legit, that's what they did. They said, Lord, Lord, in all the right places.
said, we've prophesied in your name, cast out demonic spirits in your name, and we've done many wonderful things in your name. He said, I never knew who you were. You never got the foundation right. You got to build on the foundation precisely.
Jesus is challenging his followers to lay the foundation of their lives upon a solid foundation that cannot be moved. And that foundation is the Word. That foundation is Jesus Christ. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the Word.
Somebody said, I want to get to know Jesus. I'll tell you how to get to know him. Get in the Word. That's him. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You get in the Word, and the Word will get in you, and it'll change your life.
Hallelujah. He says, if you come to me and you hear my sayings, and you put them into practice in your life, you are like a wise man building a house upon a solid and firm, unmovable, unshakable foundation. But he said, if you hear my sayings and you do not apply them, if you don't become a doer of the word, then you are like a foolish man who built his house upon shifting sand. And when the storms of life came, that house was not able to stand. I just came to tell you this morning, you can't skimp on the foundation of your life. You cannot skimp on the foundation of your life. Lay it upon Jesus Christ. You say, but Pastor Gary, some of the things that he asks us to do are very hard. Like love your neighbor as yourself. And like give, and it shall be given to you. If I give, then I won't have. Hello? Okay, I'll give a little. You're cutting back on the foundation. You're skimping on the foundation. Hello? Does that make sense? In other words, you're saying, Lord, Lord. And he's saying, I'm sorry, I don't even know who you are. I know you think I do. But there's coming a day when you will say, Lord, Lord. And I will say to you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you, because you never applied. You never built upon the right foundation.
And I'll confess to you, it's easier said than done. And the only reason it's easier said than done is because we lack the Holy Spirit in our life to help us to do it. If we have the Holy Spirit in our life, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and temperance and long-suffering. It just comes natural. It's not hard at all. If we're living in the natural or living in the carnal or living in the flesh, yeah, it's very difficult. But when we live in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, or under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it just comes natural. You don't have to beg an apple tree to produce an apple. It just happens. Right?
Jesus said the foundation that you are building on will determine the future of the house. The foundation that you are building on will determine the future of your life. Now stop and think about this for a moment. To the casual observer, both the house on the rock and on the sand may look really, really good. The house that's built upon the rock and the house that's built upon the sand, in fact, they may not look a whole lot different. Could even be the same floor plan. Could even be the same variety, Methodist, Baptist, hello. It could be the same floor plan. But let me tell you what will show the difference. It's the storm. The storm will reveal what it's built on. The storm will reveal the difference. Jesus said, when the storm come, not if the storm will come, not if a storm does come, but when the storm came, and the winds blew and the rains fell and the house or the waters beat against the house. I just came to tell you this morning, it is not a matter of when the storm comes or if the storm shall come. It is just a matter of when the storm comes. The storm is coming. There is always going to be a situation, a circumstance, a problem, a something that is going to challenge your life. Jesus said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. I'm here to tell you this morning, a storm will come in your life. And whether you stand or whether you fall depends upon what you have built upon. I want to build upon the foundation of His Word. I want to be a wise builder this morning that builds upon the solid rock of Christ. Somebody may look at my life and go, preacher, that is so old-fashioned and your thoughts are so outdated and antiquated and you are way past your prime. The world is changing, and society is changing, and I don't care. I want to build upon the principles of God. And if the principles of God do not line up with the popular opinion of this world, then I stand with Him. Amen. And when the storm comes and the wind blows and the rains fall, I'm going to keep my trust anchored in the Lord, because I have built upon the rock of ages. And I have built my life upon the truth of God's word. Let me just tell you something this morning. Truth will always prevail. Truth will always prevail. Amen. You may hide it for a while. You may keep it down for a while. Amen. But I want you to know truth is always going to surface as the victor. And I want my life to be built upon the truth of God's holy word. Even if it means it discomforts me. Even if it means I'm like that 18-year-old boy out in the sunshine with something else on his mind. Amen. If it distracts me, no, I want to keep my focus and my attention upon the Word of God so that I know I'm building squarely and correctly upon God's Word. One more time. Who are these people? Who are these people that claim, Lord, Lord, we've done all these wonderful things in your name. We've prophesied and we've cast out demonic spirits and we've done many wonderful things. Who are these people? They are people that heard the word and refused to apply the word. They are people that have heard the truth and are nothing more than a casual observer of the truth. They are people that have heard the word of God and refuse to apply it because they are not willing to make the adjustment to put it into practice in their life. And one day the trumpet of God will sound. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to hear the call. The bridegroom comes, and he's going to return for his church. He's going to return for his people. And my question to us this morning is, are we going to be part of the not crowd? Are we going to be part of the crowd that has said, Lord, Lord, and failed to enter in? Are we going to be a part of those people? Because those people are the ones that are going to miss out. Who are these people? They are the people that heard the truth and were unwilling to apply the truth. And with that, listen, with that, he puts the ball in our court. Service. Oh! What will we do with it? With that, he puts the ball in our... So listen, get a complete picture of this. He has ministered some radical things in the Sermon on the Mount. He has taught them some radical things that were contrary to the Mosaic law. And they looked at him and they were astonished at his doctrine. And they said, who is this guy, man? Because he speaks with authority. He doesn't speak as one of the scribes. This guy's got something else besides what the scribes have. And Jesus closes his sermon by saying, there is coming a day when those will say to me, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. And I will say to them, I don't know you. And those who hear my words and put them into practice, I will liken unto a wise man who built on a foundation that was solid and unmovable. Those who hear and do not my sayings. The ball was put in their court and they looked the other way. They heard the truth and refused to walk in the truth. They were a hearer and not a doer, and they are deceiving their own selves. And they are building on a faulty foundation. And my question to us this morning is, where are we? I pray this morning that we will pay great attention to detail, that we will leave no stone unturned, examining our heart and examining our life to see if there be anything that is not according to God's word in our life, so that we may be like a wise man building upon that firm foundation. Don't deceive yourself this morning by just being a hearer of the word. Hear it and apply it. Do it. I preached a message many, many years ago that I called my Nike sermon, called Just Do It. Don't just hear it. Apply it. Do it. Bow your heads, please. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you this morning that your word is eternal, that it challenges us, that it convicts us, that it speaks to us. I thank you for your help and your anointing in ministering the word through me today. Now, I pray, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit would just holler service and pop the ball over the net. Put it in our court. Put it in our heart. Put it in our life. Help us to understand that it is not those who just say, Lord, Lord, but those who do and are obedient to what you have said. Speak to us. Show us any error of our way. Father, we do not want to be on the outside looking in. We do not want to build our life on a faulty foundation. Help us to not just know your word, but apply your word, I pray. I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. Are you here this morning? And you would simply say, Pastor Gary, I've not been building on the right foundation. I've not been building on a square foundation. I've been taking some shortcuts. If you lift your hand and say, that's me, God sees you. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. God sees the ones that are lifting their hands. I've been taking some shortcuts. I'm like that 18-year-old boy out in the hot sun with his father trying to lay a foundation, and he's got his mind on some other things. I've had my mind on some other stuff. I haven't been very precise. I've been neglectful. I haven't been very precise in my measurements and in weighing the things that I'm doing and the things that I'm thinking and the things that I have in my heart and the motives of my heart. Is there anyone else you'd say, that's me? God sees you and you and you. Now, how many here this morning would be like myself and others I know that would say, God, I want to be a wise builder. I want to build upon the right foundation. If that's you, slip up your hand to God. Say, Lord, that's me. I want to build my life on the right stuff. I want to build my life on the right foundation. I want my life to be founded and based upon the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word. Help me to be a wise builder. Oh God, help me to be a wise builder. In all of my fault and all of my failure and my shortcomings and my inability and my lack, help me to fall at your feet and receive mercy and instruction to be a wise builder. So that when the storms come and the rains blow and the winds howl, my home, my life, my heart will remain standing true and firm in you. Stand to your feet all over the building. Stand to your feet. Let me pray. Father, there have been hands that have been lifted both ways. Hearts that have recognized and realized that we've been taking shortcuts, building with the wrong materials. We've been a hearer and not a doer of some things. We haven't done all that you have asked, all that you have desired. Touch our hearts this morning. Touch our spirit this morning. Don't allow us, Lord, to just walk out of this service this morning and go, well, that was a real challenging sermon. Help us to walk out of it. Walk out of this service beholding ourselves in a mirror and continuing to look at our life in a mirror so that we may see what manner of man or individual that we are. Let us continue in the word. Continue in what we have heard ministered. Help us to apply it. Father, those that lifted their hand and said, Lord, I want to be a wise builder. I want to build upon a firm foundation. I pray right now, Heavenly Father, that you would not allow the enemy to deceive their heart. That you would bring revelation knowledge to their spirit. And in areas of their life where they need to correct and they need to adjust. And I pray, God, that you will give them the knowledge and the insight and the ability to make that adjustment. Above all things, Lord, I pray that you will be glorified in their life and that their life will be a testimony of your grace, of your power, and that when the bridegroom comes and the trumpet sounds, we will not be left on the outside looking in, but we will go in to the marriage supper of the Lamb with him. I ask all of these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. I ask all of these things in the wonderful name of your Son. Amen and amen. Go ahead, son.